2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a new AP-NORC poll shows two-thirds of Democrats asked say they want President Biden off the ticket. Here's UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
I normally don't overreact to a single poll, but I have seen others that say the same thing. And I've also seen a new poll that will be released tomorrow that has even more bad news for Biden.
Eric Trump tells CBS News at the Republican National Convention that his father has rewritten his acceptance speech to make it more unifying.
The reason we're here, the reason we do what we do as a family, we don't need to be doing this. We do it for love of country. And the country's going in a horrible direction, and he wants to fix it. He wants to make America great again.
Millions of people are under heat alerts again today across the Deep South and in coastal areas from South Carolina to the great state of Maine. Joseph Tanney is in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Just trying to always stay hydrated, like hydrate before I go out and then hydrate when I get home.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says President Biden and Senator Tammy Baldwin advance dangerous policies.
They've emboldened drug cartels to flood our streets with fentanyl, killing over 100,000 Americans every year.
Hovde used his GOP convention speech last night to take top Democrats to task over immigration, foreign policy, and the high cost of living. People in Milwaukee are demanding justice for a homeless man who was shot and killed yesterday by officers in town from Columbus, Ohio, to help secure the RNC. Activists say out-of-town law enforcement should stay inside the convention perimeter. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says lethal force was needed because Samuel Sharp Jr. was threatening another man with a knife. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Chippewa Valley Technical College played host to the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Primary Forum on Tuesday night. Here's Rebecca Cook on the topic of corporate PAC money.
We're running against somebody like Derek Van Orden, who is very happy to take special interest dollars. All of us here have taken a no corporate PAC pledge. So we're not going to let those corporations infiltrate what we're going to be doing for working families in Washington.
The primary vote will be held on August 13th. An autopsy on a woman who was an inmate in the Chippewa County Jail was scheduled for Tuesday after she was pronounced dead on Sunday. According to a WEAU report, Chippewa County officials say the woman was transported from the jail to a hospital on July 4th, where she was pronounced brain dead on July 10th. Chippewa County Coroner Ron Patton was on site for the autopsy, which was performed by the Ramsey County Coroner. Results of the autopsy could take 6 weeks to be revealed.
And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The American League wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The American League beating the National League 5-3 last night in the All-Star Game. The AL has now won 10 of the last 11 games in the Midsummer Classic. No hits for Christian Yelich or William Contreras. The Red Sox, Jarren Duran, named MVP for his 2-run homer in the 5th to secure the win. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Clippers 112-97 in Summer League play. Milwaukee signing former Raptors guard Gary Trent Jr. Meanwhile, Patrick Beverley deciding to play in the Israeli Basketball League after no offers from the NBA. NFL, Chicago Bears finally reach an agreement with their number one draft pick, quarterback Caleb Williams, who's going to earn a guaranteed $39 million over the next 4 years. Packers quarterback Jordan Love at a youth football camp in Milwaukee asked if he's got a new deal yet.
Brian Gutekunst says he hopes to have a contract extension done with him before the start of camp.
Nope. Yeah, you didn't want to talk about it. That's Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Mike Tate, as well as former U.S. Representative from Wisconsin, Scott Klug. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention at Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. It's the Todd Albaugh Show, second hour. Welcome into the big hour number two. It is Wednesday, the 17th of July. Mr. Zomers, it is
Pump Day!
Very good, very good. How are things back at the old worldwide headquarters, Mr. Zomers, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square?
It's nice. Clouds are rolling over right now, so slightly overcast. You know, I will say today, the temperature has been pretty nice. There's been a strong breeze to keep things cool, so we're not sitting at 80 plus degrees, yeah. Or at least it doesn't feel like it.
Very good. It's been a beautiful day so far here in Milwaukee. I got a little lake breeze coming off of Lake Michigan, so that's fantastic. Here joining me at the anchor desk in Milwaukee for today as well, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson, like myself, a former Republican. Trigvi, welcome back. Glad to have you here today. I know you got to hit the road early tomorrow, but thanks for taking the time to be here once again today.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I'm not going to be an old man like you and Zomers and talk about the weather, though.
Well, many of our people across the state of Wisconsin want to know that they might have plans. It's a Wisconsin
nice
thing to do.
Breeze blowing off of Lake Michigan?
Let's
talk about what's going on here.
All right, fine. Well, no more
this
weather.
This is the capitulation of the Republican Party to MAGA.
It is the capitular part.
100%.
All right, let's talk about it in a second. We'll tell you that coming up a little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here with Presidential Practical Jokers. Do you know this? There were presidents in our history who were practical jokers.
Yeah, George W. Bush was kind of a practical
joker. That's funny you say that. I believe he's on the list.
Well, of course he's on the list.
Very salty drink, Olson.
Honestly, here's the thing. George W. Bush was like a guy's guy.
Uh-huh.
George W., you know, whether you liked him or disliked him. Ronald Reagan, I think, was probably a guy's guy. Barack Obama, actually, probably be a pretty cool guy to hang out with.
Yeah. Donald Trump?
You know, and Glenn Grossman actually isn't a bad guy to hang out with either. So there's that. We have way more in common as people, particularly in Wisconsin, than we allow in our politics to be the reality. Yeah. And that is unfortunate. And in fact, I was thinking about this, right? Because we have some progressive people who listen to the radio to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, as I was standing in Walgreens, I got talking to a couple that was here from Arkansas. They're delegates. And I was saying to them, they need to buy, have they tried Spotted Cow and cheese curds? And they said they hadn't. And we had this nice conversation. And I was thinking, these are the kind of people that you'd want as your neighbors, just as there's a lot of progressive people that you'd want as your neighbors. And we need to get back to understanding that. And that isn't about going back to the 60s or having Leave It to Beaver back on TV. That's just about how we interact with each other.
Right. Mutual respect. And I think that's what I was trying to get with my interview with.
Look at Kreitlow and I. love Pat.
Pat Kreitler of Up North News Radio. They rip each other good naturedly.
Yeah.
But Kreitler's a Democrat. You're a Republican, and still able to get along. Or at least a conservative. You're a conservative.
Work together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
On the ground. Because you know what? I know Pat would have my back if I needed it. And I'd have Pat's back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, again, is something that you and I heard last week as we went around the state from New Glarus to Wisconsin Dells to Chippewa Falls to River Falls. The things that people tell us that they want to hear more of are these things that bring us together. People doing good in our communities, like your buddy that was the Citizen of the Year up at River Falls, Gary.
Yeah.
The guy you brought in from UW-River Falls. His name escapes me right now. The mad cow disease. Just talking about our university system, our public education. I mean, these are the things that still, I believe, bind our communities together and make us who we are.
100%.
So.
And we have to stop seeing ourselves through our partisan lenses and start recognizing we need to see people as individuals.
Yeah. No, absolutely. If you'd like to give us a call, talk about, as Trigby put it, the capitulation of the Republican Party to Donald Trump, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We welcome your calls on this Wednesday, the 17th of July, 2024. Trigby, any thoughts last night? Again, we didn't listen to a lot of this in its entirety.
I watched a lot of the clips.
Did you watch a lot of the clips? I mean, the theme last night
was... And then I watched some Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that show?
Of course. I guess, what do you mean, do I know Friends? Of course I know Friends. The theme last night was supposed to be about security and safety. And again, she was fantastic. Ruth from Wisconsin Examiner, Ruth Conniff, was on our prime time show. You're going to join me tonight along with Terry Bell, and we'll have another panelist.
Well, I joined you last night, too, with Ruth. Remember?
That's what I'm saying. You were here last night, and you're going to join us tonight again from 7 until 8. Ruth made this point about immigration and immigrants, and she wrote a book on it. Mm-hmm. The fact that without both documented and undocumented migrant workers, the Wisconsin dairy industry, and quite frankly, the agricultural industry, would collapse. And that's a kind of a dirty secret, so to speak, that Republicans don't want to talk about.
No, they don't want to talk about, because they're busy building narratives through demagoguing.
Yeah.
If they were a Friends episode, it would be the one where the Republican Party capitulated, or the one where... J.D. Vance got up and talked about crazy stuff as it relates to the evil empire, and Ronald Reagan flipped over twice in his grave.
Yeah.
It would be that one.
That episode.
By the way, did you know? That episode, yes. Sort of like when Monica and Chandler got together, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this convention has been like. It's a plot twist.
When the Republican Party and the Trump Party got together.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, but there's no funny hook line at the end of it. There's no Phoebe here.
No, there is. Well, I don't know. Yeah, wow. Right. There's some flighty people here.
Yes, there's a Phoebe in an elephant dress, and there was a couple of women that had gowns on last night on the floor of the convention with a "Don't Tread on Me" flag made into a gown, and another one was like "Make America Great Again" gown.
Well, there was this clown from Wisconsin in a America shirt with Donald Trump.
Scott Walker.
A lot like Scott Walker.
Yes.
It's the same shirt he was wearing at Badger Boy State. Yeah. You know what's awesome about that? I had a little fun at Scott's expense. So he had tweeted out his picture with Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
Got like 1,200 likes.
Yeah.
So I tweeted out a picture sort of cutting on Scott Walker and made sure that it juiced it. So it got about 1,600 likes.
And again, I'm sure it got under his skin because he's a thin-skinned guy. And also, he's not speaking here on the dais at the Republican National Convention.
No, they didn't ask him.
They
to
did
speak.
Not. His own state, Scott Walker.
Yeah. Watch Tommy move around this place versus how Scott Walker moves around this place. It's fascinating.
That certainly is. Also off the text line here, we've got one of our listeners, Chris, back to Glenn Grothman. Not to mention, he says, Glenn's comments on camera saying the objective was to make it harder for people to vote, unquote. That goes back to 2015, 2016, when he was caught on camera saying basically that these laws, laws, these bills that they passed that Walker signed into law on voter ID. Well, he said that, I mean, he admitted on camera that part of the objective was to suppress the vote without saying those words.
By the way, did you see that Derek Van Snowflake was claiming that he got accosted by a Code Pink protester?
Let's talk about this for a second. So if you did not see this, it's making a lot of news down here in Milwaukee. Tell folks what this is about.
Well, so, I mean, there's two stories. There's the Derek Van Odd One story that he was assaulted by a Code Pink protester. Now, I find that a little ironic given how often he likes to tout. Did you know he was a Navy SEAL?
I did not know that.
I heard that Code Pink is even tougher than Navy SEALs. That's hard to believe. And if my brother-in-law, Jeff, former brother-in-law, Jeff, is out listening, I'm being facetious. But yes, but the Code Pink lady said that Derek Van Odd One actually hip-checked her as she was going by him and then started yelling that he was being assaulted. I mean, what a snowflake.
That's a little goofy.
It's a little odd. He's a strange bird.
He is a strange bird.
I haven't seen him wandering around here in the Wisconsin.
He was here the first day, very early in the morning. Yeah.
Maybe he's an early riser.
It could be.
I don't know. But he's not too tough if he got accosted by a Code Pink lady.
No, and again, ironic that Derek Van Orden, the congressman, you know, he verbally abuses, and doesn't deny it, by the way, verbally abuses teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol, yells at a teenage librarian
off my lawn.
Right, but yet he can't take a protester, a young woman protester, yelling something at him. You know, he melts.
He's a gentle flower.
Gentle flower. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Would love to know your opinion on what's going on down here in Madison. Let's go to the phone lines. Dick in Madison. Dick listening in on WMDX in Madison. Thanks for listening. Dick, what say you?
Well, guys, I'm just as worried as you are about the, you know, party capitulating to Trump. But I'm even more worried about how this court system in this country has, and these people he's appointed, and by that I mean this, that situation with the documents case now being tossed out. You know it's going to end up in the Supreme Court, and they'll just get rid of the whole thing, and it's probably the most egregious thing he pulled when he was president. But here's the thing. I look at the hypocrisy of it. How about William Barr, when he was president, getting his fat mitts on the Mueller report, redacting half of it or more, and holding on to it for 6 weeks and then passing it out? Why wasn't that out of bounds?
Trigby?
The Mueller report?
Yeah, they say when Bill Barr was Attorney General, you know, is that what you're saying, yeah. Dick?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he got his mitts on that and turned it into something it wasn't, but and held on to it for 6 weeks. That was okay.
Yeah, and then redacted most of it. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and then you turn around with what the situation now in Florida. I mean, this is an absolutely egregious crime, as far as I'm concerned, the documents thing. And it's going to all go away.
Yeah, I mean, that has been their game, right? And the reality is, you know, we have a justice system for all the Republicans are trying and the Trump world is trying to make it. Oh, it's two-tier justice. If there is a two-tier justice system in the United States, it isn't one that's based on people's ideology. It's based on resources to pay and defend oneself, and that really is the where it sits more than you know any sort of partisan divides.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. The documents case is the most outrageous, and it's the most outrageous because if any of us did that, we would already be in Leavenworth making big rocks into little rocks.
Right, that's exactly right. We need to do, Trigby, we need to make more friends. You brought up friends. What you need is friends, and we're going to talk to some of our friends. If you live in South Central Wisconsin, News 3 Now, some people that you've probably seen on Channel 3 are going to join us here at the table, Susan and Brady. We'll give you their last names. Don't go anywhere. We're live from Wisconsin Media Row. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers, believe it. Uline is the hard-working, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
The Tom Ball Show live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Wisconsin Media Row. We're at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Trigvy Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, at the desk. And Trigvy, things just got a whole lot better. In fact, stop the convention. After this segment, I'm ready to go home. We don't need anybody else, you understand, because if you are one of our listeners on WMDX in Madison or WRCE in Richland Center, or if you've ever visited South Central Wisconsin and watch News 3 Now, WIST TV, you know the people at the desk. If you're watching the live stream, you've certainly seen them. You're going to hear them in a minute. They are Susan Simon and Brady Mallory, the anchors of Live at 4. Guys, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having us. It's great to see you guys here on Media Row. You're doing great work.
Well, you guys are
with us.
What?
That introduction. Can you just come with us and introduce us when we go to the grocery store?
You tell me. I will. Yeah, we have to disclose that one of our colleagues here, Terry Barr, was one of your great colleagues.
That's
at
right.
Channel 3, and the husband thereof is one of your videographers.
That's right. He's with us here at the convention, the uber-talented Brian Mesmer.
Yes, absolutely. Brian's a great guy as well. Tell us, now, Susan, you've been at the station a long time. You are an anchor there who just makes you feel better when you watch. Well, how long have you been at Channel 3?
Oh, thank you. That's so nice of you to say. I was just teasing. I feel like the resident fossil at Channel 3. A long time. 26 years this year.
Wow. That's well, my phone's going off there. We don't need that. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Susan's fans calling. They want to talk to her.
Exactly what it is.
Advice from Susan. Call now.
That's right. Wouldn't it be great? Just like Pam Yonke, you know, call in for life questions.
Sure. Ask an anchor. Let's do it.
Ask an anchor. I love that. Brady, how long have you been both? You worked for both the Channel 3 side, also Fox 47.
Yeah, going on 4 years. I had the great idea to move here in October of 2020, right in the middle of a global pandemic. But, you know, it's been pretty good so far, and I get to work with Susan and a lot of great people. So, yeah, 4 years. It's gone by really quickly.
Before you blink your eye, it'll be 24. And the thing I always say is, you know, Madison is a very, very hard place to leave.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially in our business, a lot of people come here and think it's going to be a stepping stone, and we all turn into barnacles because it's such a wonderful place to live and work.
Brady, you probably won't remember this. Susan will probably. There was a promo years ago for Channel 3. I think it's the best promo in television history. There was a song, and it said, "Friends may come, friends may go, but Wisconsin's always home."
That's
so
right.
True.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that's what's kept us here for so long. It's friends like you guys and the connections that you make. And it's just a wonderful place to work and live and raise a family and attend big events like this.
And that's true. And I'm from Minnesota, and I spent a lot of time in South Dakota. So coming here, it does feel like home, and there's a lot to do. I've made a lot of good friends. I love the lakes, obviously, Minnesota boy. And yeah, the vibe is just so cool. So many cool restaurants, local businesses. I love the diversity of people.
I agree. Are you guys both Wisconsin natives?
We are. Yeah, yeah. We are. Richland Center and Trigby.
River Falls.
Yeah. Born and raised.
Which makes him suspect.
Controversy.
But his tie is not purple, but I noticed it's not green and gold.
Well,
either.
I have a little red accent. So.
But what a natty dresser. And I want to get right into this because I also watch, in addition to Channel 3, I watch Fox 47 News at 9, and you and your sports co-anchor, Zach, nicknamed McSteamy and McDreamy. I love this relationship between the two of you.
I know. You know, hi, Zach, if you're watching, listening at home, he's probably busy. Yeah, he is one of my closest friends. And sometimes people would email and ask, do you two like each other? Because we give each other a little bit of grief on air. But yes, we do like each other. We're friends. We're professional colleagues. So yeah. So you want to know which one's McDreamy and which one's McSteamy?
I would like to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think because of I have the hair, so I think McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey.
Right.
And you know, he's I guess McSteamy then. The,
really.
The Eric Dane. So I guess if he'll call and correct me. You know, since he's listening out there.
But. I think this is the breaking news of the convention, quite frankly. We've solved the mystery of McDreamy and McSteamy.
Yeah.
Susan, you were a longtime co-anchor with Mark Kane, one of my all-time favorite anchors. He just recently retired. Yeah. What's it like having a new co-anchor now at 4 o'clock?
Oh, it's wonderful.
It feels so patient.
No. Honestly, it feels like we've been together a really long time. And Brady is one of these people who you meet him and you feel like you've known him your entire life, which is something, it's a quality that you either possess or you don't. I don't think you can teach that. And everywhere I go, people ask me about you and Zach. It's like a chemistry thing. You know what I mean? Sometimes people click and sometimes they don't, and it feels like we've already traveled a long road together. And, you know, he's a lot younger than me, so sometimes I feel like, oh, God, this poor thing is anchoring with Grandma. You know, and he probably would like to be with somebody a little bit younger, less seasoned, as it were.
Our producer is 25 years old, and there are times I'm like, you know, you don't remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
I have to compliment Susan because right away she is so welcoming. You're so nice, and you're patient with me, who, you know, I've been doing this for a little while, but I learn every day. And so just to see your example, you're so smooth, you're so kind to people. And she's always up on what's streaming.
Like, really?
we talk about shows, we talk about movies, and so
well, and
a
that's
pleasure.
What I mean. It's a good combination because he makes me younger, you know, and maybe I can share some of my institutional knowledge. So it's a good combination. We kind of.
But you've been open about your son just graduated recently from UW-Madison.
Yes.
And was on the crew team there.
Yes.
So, I mean, you get that younger vibe, I would think, through his friends hanging out.
Yeah, well, when he will call me back or text me back, yeah. Yes. But we work with a lot. It's interesting at Channel 3. I always say there's no middle class. We call them the Mount Rushmore anchors, you know, people who have been at the station 20 and 30 years, and then people that are coming right out of school. So it's a good mix of that energy, and they're hungry, our young reporters. They're such hard workers, and they give us energy, and then we give them historical perspective. It's been very noticeable here at the convention, like, oh, there's Scott Klug, and some of the younger reporters will say, who's Scott Klug? You know what I mean? But they just don't know. So it's a good balance.
Yeah. And I have to say, you brought up Mark Kane, and I admire him so much.
Oh,
he was always good to me. And I always think of it this way. You know, the Live at 4 chair is his chair. It'll always be his seat. I'm just kind of driving it right now. But it's the Mark Kane chair. He owns the bus, and I'm there for
right
now.
That's very gracious of you, hon. That's very gracious of you.
That's super cool. Before we run out of time, I said this to you privately. I've said it on the air in another way. A few years back when I was going through a difficult time, Susan, I remember something you had tweeted at me years ago. You were very transparent years ago when you got scammed and you went on the air and you had one of your colleagues then interview you.
Someone stole my Social Security number and got my tax return. Yeah.
And you were very open about it. And I tweeted at the time, I said, hey, thanks for being so transparent. And you tweeted back something, and you said this. You said, you can get through anything as long as you know you're not alone.
Aww.
And that came back at a time I really needed that. And I just want to thank you. And if you ever wonder whether you're touching people's lives, both of you are. And I just want to thank you for all you do for South Central Wisconsin.
Oh, that just made my whole day. Thank you for sharing that. That really did. Don't make me cry. I can't cry on the radio.
You're so giving of your giving heart, generosity. You're so kind to people, and you paid it forward. You sent me that note. I recently lost my mom, and she was a tremendously kind person, and she would have appreciated that and been honored.
Aww.
So when you put it out there in the world, it comes back to you. Look at this. It's like a little triangle.
That is true.
And Trigger, we have a minute left. Trigger?
Yeah, I have one question for you guys. You know, so I do a lot of research on sort of what we're facing as a nation and as a state, and one of the things that comes out in the research is the people who are most likely to be extremist are people who consume local television news. Talk a little bit about that responsibility.
Can you guys hang through the break for 2 minutes?
You bet.
All right, do anything.
Oh, you're the kindest. That's a cliffhanger right there, we call that. Would Trigby Olson's great question. Back with Susan Simon and Brady Mallory on the other side. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming is urging GOP voters to use standalone absentee ballot drop boxes, which are more popular with Democrats. Schimming tells Wisconsin delegates that puts Republicans at a disadvantage on Election Day. Down ballot races in Wisconsin will be won on bread and butter issues, especially with new, more competitive maps. So says Democratic strategist Melissa Baldoff.
They're hearing childcare is incredibly expensive. We need some help on that. They're hearing about, can we drink the water from our well? Is this safe? We need to know that someone is listening to us, that they're fighting for us, and they're doing the right thing for our families.
Baldoff spoke to a luncheon yesterday put on by WISP Politics and the Marquette Law School. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A local electrical workers union held a press conference on Tuesday to express their concerns on unions and clean energy in the state. According to a WEAU report, the IBEW expressed concerns that if elected again, former President Donald Trump would roll back union jobs and the clean energy economy in the state. State Representative Jody Emerson also attended the press conference and expressed her concerns that the Republican-controlled State Assembly and Senate aren't devoting enough money to renewable energy. The city of Menominee will soon allow residents to ride their ATVs and UTVs on city roads. On Monday, the city council approved the proposal, making it more convenient for riders to use their vehicles without having to put them on a trailer to take them to one of the three trails in town. City officials expect the ordinance to get its final approval in early August, and when approved, riders should be allowed to use the streets beginning in early October. A map of the roads that are not included in the change can be found online. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After a traumatic couple days, it's time for our country to come together and try to heal. Of course, I'm talking about Ingrid Andress' performance of our national anthem before the Home Run Derby at Monday's MLB All-Star festivities. The performance was not only potentially the worst version of the song ever performed, but possibly the worst version of any song ever performed. It's bad even if she's never had lessons, and after witnessing that performance, well, there's no way she's ever had lessons. She made the Hawk Tua girl sound like a virtuoso. Andress, a Grammy-nominated singer, quickly put out a statement the next day for damage control, saying, "I'm not going to bullshit, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need." Good for you, Ingrid. Admitting you have a problem is the first step. Hopefully, whatever facility she attends will provide excellent voice lessons. She might also want to cut back on the booze. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for
all. Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Pursuing Truth, Wherever It May Lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now coming up on 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. We are live here at Panther Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at Wisconsin Media Row. This is the having fun doing it part of the show, along with Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project, our co-host this week. We are honored to be joined at the table by the outstanding anchors of Live at 4 on News 3 Now. That's WISC-TV, the great CBS affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin. Susan Simon and Brady Mallory, we thank you guys for spending a little bit extra time with us. Trigvi, before the break, repeat the question, if you would. Important point.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I do a lot of research on extremism and radicalization in the U.S., and one of the things that we've really seen is that a lot of people who fall into that camp end up living in their own unique media ecosystems. And one of the high correlations between people not being extremist and being looking, you know, for sort of more of that political center is consumption of local television news. In fact, it's probably the biggest. And I was curious just about the responsibility that comes with that. And also, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's at Care 11 in the Twin Cities, a longtime reporter up there. I ran into him at a thing. And he was saying how much harder it is going out and doing even human interest stories because this toxicity is creeping into everything that we do. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, it is a tremendous responsibility. And I'll tell you what I think is partially responsible for it. It has a lot to do with social media. Mm-hmm. I got into the business back in the Jurassic period, you know, before social media, right. where people got into journalism to do things for other people. And now it's about, look at me and look at what I'm doing, you know, look at where I am. Yeah. And I think that's eroded trust a little bit. And we have a tendency, and it's well-intentioned, but even things like the weather, you know, it's first worn and right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think some of that is a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hyped? I don't know.
Yeah, hyped, right. Yeah. And I think it's all contributed to eroding trust a little bit.
Yeah. Brady?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, there's such a pressure to go viral, to be relevant. And then you have people who, excuse me, who do that because, you know, like Susan was saying, they want to be famous in some way, and it's not necessarily about the story. But I think local news is so handy and so important because the stories that I like to do, I like to go out into the community, and I do like the human interest stories because I believe that gives context to the community. You know, you can be kind of a custodian of the human experience, and someone's watching the news and they see someone who is their neighbor, they just haven't met them yet, and they can see outside of their own little bubble. They can see the person who doesn't look like them, doesn't think like them, and understand, oh, they live in my community too. I've never thought of it that way before, you know, based on something they're doing or saying. And so you just get a better sense of what your little microcosm is like by watching local news. And I think both of us and where we work, we try really, really hard to show all shapes and shades and flavors of the community.
You know, and trust is sort of consistent action over time.
Yeah,
what your longevity in a community helps build that trust. Do you ever, well, I'm curious, do you ever watch local news? I ask everybody I meet about
it. You know,
that.
So I live in the D.C. area, and I rarely watch local news.
Why not?
You know, other than the Green Bay Packers, I don't actually watch a lot of television.
Yeah.
My daughters, who are 13 and 15, think that I am culturally clueless.
Uncool.
I don't think that that's necessarily true.
Did
you? When I'm back home, though, in River Falls, I almost always watch WEAU or Care 11 out of the Twin Cities.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, yeah. And I'm in a unique situation because when you do what I do with kind of people that I do stuff with, I get clips, you know, pretty robust clipping service. So I can look at, you know, news in any market. If I wanted to see what you guys said last night, I could go online and easily do that.
So, right.
But most people don't have that capacity. So.
See, I think that you live in D.C. because, I mean, I grew up in Richland Center and lived a long time in Madison. I mean, I go all the – my earliest memories of TV news was on my grandparents' black and white television at the farm watching John Karcher and Ted O'Connell do the news.
And
Walter Cronkite doing the news. And that was – I mean, I'm – friends and family that know, I mean, I watch Channel 3 religiously. Oh. Just because I grew up on it. I love it. I'll go around the channel a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm kind of a Channel 3 news buff historian because I just think you guys do a great job and you're always fair and you're in the community to Brady's point. It's not always just, oh, here's the headline. It's what's behind that. I mean, Charlotte Delesny's stories, do something good. You guys just do a great job. And so I really appreciate you.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. Do you guys feel the same pressure to get, I think about national reporters that I interact with and know, right? Like there's a ton of pressure on them to be breaking stuff on Twitter and like all that goes with that. And then to do the cable talk and whatever. But do you feel a lot of pressure at the local level to end up having social media and viral hits and all of that? And do you get a lot of pressure? I would assume you do.
We do get a lot of pressure. And we're in a, I think on the local level, it's a little bit different because the national people that come in don't have skin in the game in our community.
You're right.
So they can be more of a, aggressive and a lightning rod, and there are no consequences for that. We have to be more careful. And especially we're so divided now at an event like this, we have to be uber careful to be really fair.
Yeah.
I think the people that work in D.C. are probably a little bit more big market people. They're more transient. I don't know if they have the luxury that they don't. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think you can trace a lot of this social media hype back to, remember in the mid-90s, of the O.J. Simpson trial and then the live coverage of him and the Bronco driving down. People got a taste for that. And I think that has seeped in to now where we want like something like breaking all the time because, that's what sells. That's what's sexy. So there can be pressure, and sometimes that can get the better of people. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I could sit here and talk to you guys all day.
So could we.
I really appreciate
so
it.
So could we.
Come back sometime. We'll pick it up because I'd love to talk to you. I know you've interviewed some of the Kelly Call from Burlington, who was at CBS, who was the head for a long time. You talked to Bob Schieffer, who's been along.
Yes.
Some of these great interviews.
I had to wear a TCU hat because I made a bet with him at the Rose Bowl when Wisconsin lost the Rose Bowl.
Oh, Bob Schieffer?
Yes.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. I had to wear it on the air.
So come on back. We'll talk some. But before we leave, I want to, Terry Barr, our colleague and your former colleague, says, I heard your chat with Susan and Brady. Thank you, and a shout out. Thanks for the shout out as well. So she says hello.
Oh, wonderful! We miss you, Terry.
And also on the text line here from Tyler, listening in on WMDX in Columbia County, says, "quote I grew up with Susan on Channel 3. It's always a treat to catch her live
when
my schedule allows. Keep up the great work, Susan."
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Now, and we'd like to have you guys.
Yeah.
How about you come over to our couch?
I have a face for radio, but sure.
No.
I hate to admit this. I don't do television. I've only done two television interviews.
There's always a first.
He once told Chuck Todd no.
Yeah, I did once tell Chuck Todd.
Before Chuck Todd was Chuck Todd.
That is the best decision ever. I did.
You work them, Todd.
We'll try it. Susan Simon and Brady Mallory from Live at 4. Tune into the program, and you can also catch it, of course, at channel3000.com, the great great website as well. Thank you so much.
I might be able to violate that rule by just saying I only do Wisconsin television.
There you go.
There you go.
I could.
Enjoy the rest of the convention.
I did that.
Thanks.
I did that show. But
thank you both. I really, really appreciate it. We got to get Brian Van Hooker in here.
Okay.
He's waiting. All right. Thank you very much, Susan and Brady. We really, really appreciate them stopping by. Really the best of the best journalists here we have on Wisconsin Media Row. Let's go now via StreamYard to our ongoing contributor here. We welcome him back to the program from Crack.com, Brian Van Hooker. Brian, I'm sorry we had to bump you back a little bit, but when you got local folks like this, you want to talk a little bit. But welcome back to the program. We always appreciate you. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. No problem at all. I'm happy to do it.
Well, this has been something that we've teased all day. I've been looking forward to it. Talking about presidential practical jokers. This is a great way to end the program today here. Tell us a little bit about this article. People can find it at crack.com and how you came about it.
Well, I'm a bit of a presidential history nut, so I wanted to do a piece about presidents who specifically pulled practical jokes, not just funny presidents, because we've had a number of funny guys, Lincoln's very funny, things like that, but we wanted people like specifically who were known to pull pranks. So I reached out to my friend, he's a presidential historian and author, a guy named Louis Picone, who helped assemble this list.
It's a great list. Let's get right to it. Is it eight? Do you have eight? Is that right?
Yeah, we found eight really good examples.
All right, let's start with number eight, presidential practical joker. It's Brian Van Hooker.
Well, the first one's probably the earliest, and it's Andrew Jackson. We're pretty sure this was a prank of his. At least it can be categorized as such. Jackson had a parrot that he loved, and he would train it to say curse words. And he used to delight in seeing the parrot embarrass people when they would come and visit him. So
now that is fantastic right there. Teach your parrot a curse word so the people come to the White House, they just swear at him.
Yeah, it's not clear if it was just that was just Jackson's regular vocabulary or if it was a concerted effort to embarrass people. But regardless, when people would come to Jackson's, they would often be turned off by his very loud and vulgar parrot.
And it just shows that even people back in history, they weren't all stuffy. They had a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, some of them didn't about it, but Jackson certainly did. And the parrot was actually kicked out of Jackson's funeral because it was being so vulgar there that they had the parrot ejected from his funeral.
I wish we had some cuts to the parrot, but we probably could hear it because of FCC rules, but that's fine. Number seven, Trigby brought this one up earlier. What do you got?
That one's for Reagan. So Reagan always had like a genial sense of humor to him, but he occasionally would pull some pranks as well. A favorite of his would be when he would invite newcomers to the staff, be it Secret Service, etc., over to Camp David, and he would have a glass of wine with dinner, and then he would proceed to act drunk. And after it was clear somebody had fallen for it, he would straighten up and joke, and they say I wasn't a good actor.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty
That's
good.
Funny.
Yeah.
Very Reagan-esque. I mean, never met the guy, but read a lot about him. And Reagan was also known from what I know. He really loved a good dirty joke, and would have people over the White House and just tell an obnoxiously bad joke, and got a big kick out of kind of shocking people about it.
It's funny. I didn't know that, but it makes a lot of sense given who he hung out with, show business people for sure.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because Reagan, of course, was a semi-popular B-list actor for a while.
Yeah. And president of the Screen Actors Guild, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, number six in presidential practical jokers of Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.
Obama kind of made a okay attempt at a practical joke early on as his presidency. Tim Kaine was on a radio show, and Obama pretended to be a caller. We have an audio of it here, but honestly, he doesn't quite pull it off great. It's like he tried to do a practical joke on Tim Kaine, but then came up a little bit short. I don't know if there's time for the audio, but it's there if you want it.
Have we got time for the audio,
yes.
Mr. Zowers? All right, here's the audio of Barack Obama playing a practical joke.
Governor, let's get back to the phones and let some callers. We have Barry from D.C. is calling. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, Governor Kaine, this is actually the President of the United States calling.
No.
I have questions about...
I mean, yeah, not so much a practical joke, but caught it by surprise, right? I mean...
you got to let it go for a little bit, is my point.
Right.
Yeah.
Not great timing.
Yeah, that's everything, right? So
timing is everything. That's exactly right. We're going to come back here. Can you stick around for about eight more minutes on the other side, Mr. Van Hooker?
Yeah, my pleasure, certainly.
You are the best. We're going to come back and kind of go through the rest of these presidential practical jokers. Turns out that politicians, yes, they actually do have a sense of humor once in a while. So I'll come back and talk with that with Brian Van Hooker. Wrap things up with Trigby Olson here and get you set for Maggie Dawn coming up next. And then tonight, you can join Trigby Olson, Terry Bell, and a cast of characters in our wrap-up coverage starting at 7 p.m. tonight, going from 7 until 8. Looking forward to that right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So we're coming up here on a break, I believe, Mr. Sommers. There's my clock off. There's the music. Very good. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Brian Van Hooker and more presidential practical jokers according to Cracked.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show from Wisconsin Media Row on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I'm going to talk about googly eyes. There are two things I have in my purse at all times, credit cards and googly eyes. I carry a pouch of googly eyes because what can't googly eyes make better? I bring up the two together because recently I was at Michael's, it's the craft store where I buy my googly eyes, and I was super bummed out to see that they were pushing credit cards that have interest rates of 33%. This is part of a trend where retail stores are offering their own credit cards with just insane interest rates. Maybe you've heard something like this. Would you like 20% off for signing up for a credit card today? Assume retail store cards are a bad deal unless the fine print says otherwise. So decline, do your research, and if you need a credit card, find the one that's right for you and your pocketbook, whether or not it's from the store where you get your googly eyes. For more savings tips, head over to workmoney.org and sign up for free. Until next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here at Wisconsin Media Row, 2024 Republican National Convention. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. News, weather, and sports, followed by Maggie Dawn from 2 until 4 from our broadcast center in downtown Milwaukee for the week. Right now, Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project here at the desk. We are talking with the wonderful and talented Brian Van Hooker of Crack.com on presidential jokers. Now, Brian, these are things that you guys have come up with, done some research. These are actual practical jokes or joke-ish from presidents and making an attempt at being funny.
Yeah, and some of them I think actually were. I think some of them actually succeed. One is George W. Bush. No matter what you think of his politics, the guy did kind of embrace... He had a good sense of humor about the image people had of him as this sort of dummy, and he kind of liked to have some fun with it. A good example of this is early on in his presidency, his staff had scheduled some sort of meeting with Bono, and they weren't sure, you know, he's a, you know, 60-something guy from Texas, if he knew who Bono was. So they said, do you know who Bono is? And Bush continues on with this work and goes, yeah, he was married to Cher.
Yeah, he was married to Cher.
And as the staff is sort of looking at each other like, how do we tell you? Like, he explains that he knows it's actually the front man for you too. So
I only met him. I literally met him twice for about 30 seconds at a time, but he was very nice, very gracious. Again, whatever you think about him. Trevi, did you ever meet W?
Yeah, I hung out with him once in a group of people at an RGA meeting. He was hilarious.
He had a pretty good sense of humor.
I can't imagine
he?
What he was like back when he was in college and still.
Big partier.
Partying. He'd have been a great guy to hang out with.
I think it would have been.
It's a little bit like this, speaking of media, but and it's a little off track, but it's a little bit like when I met Rachel Maddow, right? And there was a little bit of history there. I was like, oh my God, I would love to go and be at a party with this lady. She's
really?
Fun.
Funny?
Yeah. Oh, she's fun. George W. Bush is like that too.
All right, Brian Van Hooker. Number 4 on presidential practical jokers.
This is my my source's favorite. He's a Grant guy. He wrote a book called Grant's Tomb, so he was very excited to share this one. So Grant, you know, publicly back then, presidents weren't very funny. Maybe Lincoln's the only exception. But after his presidency, Grant loosened up a little bit, and he went on this huge tour of the world. But he wanted to experience it as a commoner. He didn't want to be bombarded by heads of state and parades and all this other business. But it was sort of inevitable. So everywhere he went, he was being, like, lauded as this hero, yet it's the 1800s, so people don't always know what he looks like. He would also dress very commonly. Like, he wouldn't dress as a general everywhere he went. So they would reach a point where they would have parades and stuff in his honor overseas, because he was a big celebrity, basically. And instead of him, he would have some of the people traveling with him poses himself. So he would have, like, he was traveling with the Navy, so he had, like, one of the captains of the Navy ship sit in the seat of honor while he was, like, beside him laughing. Everybody was applauding this no-name general that was up in the seat. So.
That's pretty good. Just getting a kick out of seeing how people would treat him by not being him.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty smart, actually, right? Yeah. Just kind of seeing, what's up? Brian Van Hooker, number four on your presidential, number three on the presidential practical jokers list.
So three is a famous one from Bill Clinton, though we're not sure if it was Bill and Hillary themselves or if it was just their staff. But when they were leaving the White House, they sort of notoriously tore all the W's out of the keyboards for much of the White House business. So, for welcome George W. Bush, he took all the W's out of the keyboards.
All right, very good. Apparently, there's been an earthquake here at the Republican National Convention as the delegates have now attacked the camera. We're working on it to try to straighten it out. Apparently, they don't like a good practical joke. But as you know, one of my friends, TJ, likes to say, hey, if you can't take a joke, blank them. Number two on the list, Brian Van Hooker.
Two is Calvin Coolidge. It's a pretty infantile example of it. Back in the 1920s when he was president, they had these sort of this button system set up where if he pushed a button, the wait staff would come, or if he pushed that button, somebody else would come, whatever. And he would push the buttons to summon people and then hide around in the White House.
And to just see if people almost like hide and go seek.
That was essentially it, yeah. Like for Calvin, Coolidge is sort of known for this having this wry sense of humor, but I guess also it could get rather childish.
And number one, according to crack.com, is Brian Van Hooker. Number one practical presidential joker.
That's got to be LBJ. I mean, the guy was lewd. He was known to disrobe in mixed company often. He was not all kinds of funny, crass, horrible things come out of LBJ's mouth and otherwise. Like he would hold press conferences on the toilet.
That's true.
Yeah, like. And it's really hilarious to read about. One of his favorite pranks was he'd invite people down to the ranch, and the man had an amphibious car, so he could drive around and then proceed to drive right into a water, and then it would basically convert into a boat.
a duck boat, basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he would invite people into his car and drive around the ranch, not telling them what the car did, and he would pretend to lose control of the brakes, and then smash into the river on his the lake on his property, and as everybody's screaming, and then they eventually would realize that the car could flip. So.
That LBJ, and from Good Morning Vietnam, Robin Williams line, he'd do his LBJ thing or whatever, and say, pick up this dog by the ears. It doesn't hurt him as much as you pick him up by the ears. The guy was just a goofball, according to a lot of people.
LBJ. Yeah, he had a very vulgar, he was very funny to be around, it seems.
Well, there's certainly a lot of material here, Brian Van Hooker, at the Republican National Convention. Your great folks at Cracked.com. So all this article of presidential practical jokers can all be found at Cracked.com. Anything we missed here in about a minute and a half left?
No, honestly, like I said, there's lots of presidents who are funny in all kinds of different ways. There's lots of jokes out there, like books out there about presidential one-liners, jokes and things like that. It all kind of started with Lincoln, really. Because Lincoln was the first funny president we had, at least publicly.
Right.
And then continued from there. So.
I mean, Lincoln was known as a great storyteller, drink.
Yeah, he was. I think the LBJ stuff is hilarious. And in fact, if anybody's listening and wants to know more about LBJ, there's this great book. There's a series of biographies called Master of the Senate. Is one of them.
Wow.
And he was actually particularly funny. There were a lot of strange things. And
Brian Van Hooker of Crack.com, always appreciate you. Thanks for being flexible today, my friend. Great job, as always. Really appreciate it at Crack.com, Brian Van Hooker. Also, thanks to we had Susan Simon and Brady Mallory of Channel 3 here. Trigg V. Olson, of course, our co-host, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, Glenn Grothman, congressman from Wisconsin. Mr. Zahmer is back at the headquarters doing a great job. All of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Pete Schwabba.
Wednesday night, we will stream live on Facebook and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We will be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome comedians Kristen Leidy and Katie Bowman in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.